The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Runes, the 2018 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2018. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Welcome. How do you foster living learning in your classroom? Well, I'll start by saying I'm in a house of experts. I feel like we've spent 2 days hearing from amazing experts in the field. And honestly, I feel humbly that I have very little to share. But I do hope that something that I'll show you, as they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words, I hope that something that I share with you will resound with you today. Perhaps it's something that you've thought of. Perhaps it's one of your ideas. Perhaps it's an idea that you want to use in the future, but hopefully something will resound with you, because sometimes we just all need a reminder of how to make our life more living in the classroom. You all recognize this girl. Perhaps she's been in your classroom one day, and despite your enthusiasm about spelling rules and grammar rules, she's somewhere else. Or perhaps you're the student. As in this film right here. If I can just play it.
Oh. Adams?
Here.
Adam Lee?
Here.
Adamowski? Adamson?
Here.
Adler?
Here.
Anderson? Anderson?
Here.
Bueller? 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 Bueller?
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
Thank you, Simone.
No problem whatsoever.
Fry. In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the... Anyone? The Great Depression, passed the... Anyone? The tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which... Anyone raised or lowered? Raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression. Today, we have a similar debate over this. Anyone know what this is, class? Anyone? Anyone? Anyone seen this before? The Laffer curve. Anyone know what this says? It says that at this point on the revenue curve, you will get exactly the same amount of revenue as at this point. This is very controversial. Does anyone know what Vice President Bush called this in 1980? Anyone? Something D-O-O economics. Voodoo economics.
Well, good evening, good afternoon. I want to say that I had those very teachers myself. In fact, I'm sure they were that particular teacher I had myself. And I am certain it was the boringest class of ever, and I learned absolutely nothing. See, the secret, my friends, is to build awe in your students. The secret is to get them excited about learning. So as you are all here at the very end of a very long classical Christian conference, I can tell that you are not like this teacher. In fact, you do want to know more about how you can make your learning exciting. And so I will like to say, it starts with awe. You have your students look at you with a sign that, oh, they've learned something new. And that then leads to wonder and then wisdom. So my friends, let's begin. There's a principle I'd like to share with you today called the wow, how principle. So the student says, wow, how? Take Niagara Falls, per se. Niagara Falls, it's so magnificent, it's so huge. A student goes over and looks over the edge and says, wow, how? How is there an electric plant next by that harnesses harnesses hydroelectric energy so that we can therefore run electrical charges through this huge force of nature. So I say, build the wow and how. My first experience with wow was with a compass. At 5 years old, I looked at a compass and said, wow, why is this needle moving and twisting around with this invisible force? And so, of course, I said, how? And that was the beginning, my friend. The important thing, my friend, is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own place, and you want to build this in your students. One cannot help but be in awe when he contemplates the mystery of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structure of reality. So, my friends, my question to you is, how can you create awe in the classroom? How can you create awe in four closed walls? Well, you can go to wonderful field trips and you can see fish undersea, but really give them first-hand opportunities. Give them senses with their senses, their vision, that their hands, can they touch it? Can they hear it? Can they see it? Wonder, says an old ancient wisdom, is the beginning of wisdom. And wonder comes in the form of math, the truth in the fundamentals, the truth that magnets attract each other or repel each other, the beauty of design in art, and in history, the beautiful goodness that is found through heroes through time, men whom God has placed before us. You see, my friends, the ideals which have always shone before me with the joy of living are goodness, beauty, and truth. And so we look for ways to inspire our students. How will they be inspired? And so I will share a little bit about inspiration through Monica Whatley, who will now join us and tell us about Ryan's Well. So what does it mean to inspire? I hope at least I caught your attention. It's amazing how students respond when someone's in character. So I'm going to begin by sharing a perfect example of inspiration. Ryan, a 6-year-old, saw that children did not have enough water in Africa. So what he did was he began to do chores. And then he began to raise money, which then his friends on his team began to do. And then his neighborhood, and he ended up raising thousands of dollars for wells in Africa and started a foundation called Ryan's Well. That boy was inspired. So how can we inspire our children? One of the first places to start is with nature. The most amazing part of God's creation are the living beings that he's created. Of course, ourselves, studying the human body, but it's amazing to watch kindergarten students grow a little plant in the classroom, the excitement over a simple bean plant. An age-old practice, but are we doing it? Growing seeds, catching chicks, raising tadpoles, hatching butterflies, collecting pond samples, having a terrarium in your classroom, building a nature table, having a nature journal, collecting items of art. As Aristotle said, in all things of nature, there is something marvelous. My first 5th grade class, I asked the students to bring in a goldenrod plant. I'm from Canada. I don't know how common they are down here, but a goldenrod plant is something that shows up the first week of school in Canada. So one of the kids said the first day, are we going to learn about plants? So that I said, you know what, just put the goldenrod in the bag, tie it up, bring it to school. The next day, the kids untied their bags and out poured all the subjects that we'd be studying, all the invertebrates that we were going to be classifying.
onto their desks, because goldenrod is a wonderful habitat for a variety of invertebrates. And so the students were just like, "Ah, we thought we were studying plants, and look at all these bugs." Well, that then of Ken fostered a love of the insect. And the students, I had one student for the rest of the week collect bees. We had a whole collection, a whole terrarium of bees in the classroom, and it was exciting for the students. Hatch butterflies. Sometimes, you know, everybody talks about what does it look like to see a butterfly hatch, but to see a butterfly hatch, to take the time and watch it hatch in class, or chicks, the students just absolutely love it. We had chicks this past year in the class, and it was amazing to see the questions that the kids asked. Even though you've done it 1,000 times, you're tired of doing it, they smell after a couple days, bring the chicks back in. Because what a great opportunity to talk about new birth and rebirth, and what a great opportunity to talk about metamorphosis and how God changes us into a completely new being than to see it firsthand. Tadpoles. Have a nature table. Have an opportunity for students to be able to rub textures and to build nature designs and to make a nature book. Have a nature table with magnifying glasses and microscopes. I have this wonderful thing at home called the Bionic Eye, and it's just a handheld microscope where you can put it on people's hair and on their tongues and attach it to any TV in the classroom. Way better than any simple microscope, because it blows up somebody's cut. It's great entertainment for the kids just to see how amazingly disgusting their things look up close. Make a nature journal. Have the instead of just going out for recess, go out for recess and count the varieties of birds. Make a nature poem. Write a poem, or take your parent for a walk. Some of these things on here. There are all sorts of activities they can do with a nature journal, including collecting leaves. In Canada, we have a variety of maples. We have the red maple, Japanese maple. You can have a nature book just on maple leaves and have a great study that way. I mean, opportunities to experience nature firsthand are never ending. And as I said, I'm repeating what you know, but for the young child to be able to build that excitement for God's creation, it just needs to happen during the day when the light's out. When the sun is out and you're here with the students, it's a great opportunity for that. History. History is a main part of the classical model. It's a backbone to a lot of our content. And so it's a great opportunity for scrapbooking, for reenactment. All of our grades do a historical time period, and the first graders are the ones that do ancient times. And so these students will dress as ancient Egyptians, and they'll spend a day as an ancient Egyptian. They'll wear their clothes, eat their food, and live out up in Lower Egypt. Have a Greek day or a Roman day. Eat the food. Read the works. Just surprise them. Have a box of costumes and say, "Okay, you're a Roman soldier today, come on in, get in character, we're going to start." You know, this is Justinian and Theodora sharing their elocution skills by going in front of the group and pretending that they are the characters. Let the children have a lot of opportunities to role play in historical time figures. Cover all the time figures. And it's a great opportunity for a student to see, for example, how a certain civilization explains something about God's creation. Like, oh, you know, the First Nations, for example, in their explanation of how the sun came to being. It's a great chance for them to be able to see and act it out. Or have, in your upper grades, you can write letters to each other as though you're away and home during war. What does it feel like to be on the battlefield as a youth? What does one consider if they know that today could be their last? And it doesn't have to be in full costume. It doesn't have to be with tons of props. It can be the dreaded handout that becomes a mask. You know, if I could do one object lesson, it would be to burn the worksheet. But I know there's a place for the worksheet. This is one of them. Activities. Activities. Students love to be actively involved. They love to be able to hold an item, to fashion it with their hands, to smell it, to taste it. We had one teacher this year that was doing a book, and the part of the book was they tasted sardines. And so the kids sat and tasted the sardines, and we got pictures of them and their awful look on their face as they realized maybe that wasn't the best choice after all. This is one of the things that I've done with the students. It's a scrapbook. Make a scrapbook with the kids. Instead of having a notebook with pages and pages of worksheets, turn your worksheets into pages of a scrapbook. So make them interesting. Design them differently so they don't even realize they're doing a worksheet. Have them write a sentence on a different shape, which can go into your scrapbook. So I did this one on ancient times, and first the students took some time creating their own timeline, which we put up against the wall, and we have a big timeline of history from the beginning of time to today. And so we then put a little sticker to where their timeline fit in the beginning of history to today and reminded them of Psalm 8. What is God that you are mindful of us? The Son of Man that you... We're a little lower than the heavenly being. So that opportunity, that visual for them to see where they are in time and space is a great visual for them. So again, instead of giving them a worksheet on what a cave painting looks like, have them scrunch up paper, dip it in tea, and pull out the chalk pastels. Help them to tell a story about what may have happened. Build things. Build pyramids or ziggurats out of sugar cubes. Carve often. They practice their fine motor skills with carving. Have them play out things. So, for example, when we did ancient times, the students got a new understanding of what it might feel like to be in the afterlife wrapped like a mummy. Because once you're all tied up, you're not going anywhere. So these students loved the fabric wrapping, and just to see what it would have felt like at the time. You can mummify apples. I'm giving you examples in ancient time. You can also do hieroglyphics. Have the students write each other messages in hieroglyphics. And no ancient Egypt talk or no ancient Egypt unit is complete without a Nile riverbed overflow. The students love to see that grass actually grows in the desert when the water overflows. Make a Roman road. You know, instead of talking about the Roman road, say, okay, these are your materials, and have the students build it. They will never forget what composes a Roman road. And what I would like to encourage you to is eat often and a lot, because the stomach sometimes remembers what the brain forgets. So it's a great opportunity, again, for students to say, okay, this is what it was like to live in the time period. And, of course, especially boys love to make hands-on stuff. Make a sword, make a shield, make whatever it, the Viking hat. The students will keep it. The funny thing is that this item was made 4 years ago by a student, and I thought, oh, I'd like to bring it. They probably threw it out, and all the mothers said, no, we didn't throw that out. We keep everything that they make. And so there is that awe and wonder, and that creates more interest for the future. So the students are excited about it later on still. Make castles. We had students in grade 4 making castles this year, and they were not given any direction on what it needed to be made out of. So we had castles made out of Rice Krispies and Lego and stucco and cardboard. And the students were so excited to use their creativity to recreate a castle from the past. You see another castle in the background here. Use art, the beauty in art, to personalize illuminated letters. Take an opportunity to appreciate truth and goodness and beauty through all of the areas of the subject, all of the top subjects. Here's another example. I've done this with grade one students, so that you, I should say, first of all, in Canada, we call it grade one. I know you call it first grade, so forgive me on that. But grade one students, they are using plasticine just spread on a science board to create a model. So we did all sorts of famous places that the student, or settings of novels, that you just spread out the plasticine and they can create a scene that way. Special days. Special days are a favorite for me. It's a day where students come together and we do, they have an opportunity to explore music, they have an opportunity to explore history or whatever it may be. So for example, on the top right, the Vikings. We had a Viking day. All the kids dressed in Viking costumes. They all had an opportunity to row a big boat together. We went outside at recess and had a snowball fight with styrofoam balls. And Olaf, one of our parent volunteers, had arm wrestles with all the kids. And it was a real hit. And the kids, again, got to explore Viking times in a way that they wouldn't have reading about it in the classroom. We have something called Walk Through History Day. So I would assume that everybody's doing a different time period in your classes. Walk Through History Day is a great day where all the classes are celebrating history at the same time. So, for example, the Romans are dressed as Romans. The Greeks are dressed as Greeks. The Native Americans are dressed as Native Americans. And we have the Egyptians. Every time period is covered. And those students then present to the rest of the school just to give the other students an idea of their time period. They bring food to share with all the students in the school so that the students can taste food from that time period. And then we have games. In the afternoon, the students have the Greek Olympics. They have an opportunity to build a pyramid or whatever. Is time, or we wrapped mummies, whatever is for that time period. So they got to go around and enjoy history in a new way. Or you could have a whole day of the Greek Olympics, dress everybody up as Greeks, even if they're not in the time period, and have an official Greek Olympics. Again, the Greek Olympics will be memorable for them. All primary classes have 100 day. Give it, aside from counting 100 of everything, give them opportunities to explore hundreds in different ways. For example, what does it feel like to be a 100-year-old man? And go through that. Interview a senior. We are blessed to have a senior center next to us. And so that's a wonderful opportunity for us to go out and connect with the seniors. We have the students go and bring a thing of M&Ms and have a little cheat sheet and pass an M&M to the elderly, and the cheat sheet, then the elderly asks the person the question, or they switch back and forth. And so it encourages conversation between the seniors and our students. We have, in fact, this Monday, our last day of school was on Tuesday, so we haven't been out for long. On Monday, we had our Nobility Day, and at the end of the year, we got this from Geneva in Florida, but at the end of the year, we have a Nobility Day where the students who are studying medieval times have an opportunity to earn points towards becoming knights and ladies of the court. So they earn points by serving. They go around and they help at home, they help at the school, and then after several months of working hard, they are dubbed knights and ladies of the court by our senior male teacher, Sir Adam Ogborne. And so the students come out in their white smocks with their red tassels, they have their vigil, and then they have their ceremony, and then after that they have the dinner and they have the food, and we have an event in the afternoon complete with archery and jousting and the stocks for those brave teachers who want to stand in them. So again, an opportunity for dress up, a great way to explore firsthand what it's like on these special days. And here are some of our students in costume. So you say hands-on. I mean, hands-on in STEM is a very easy place to start. Bridge-building competitions. Experiment often. Have the students, I mean, grade one or first grade, when they see something bubble over, they go, wow, why is it doing that? Create that awe in the class. You don't have to be the science teacher. You don't have to be the science teacher to be able to share that with the students. How does a ramp affect the speed? These students, even though they're older, give them an opportunity to lay out the ramp and say, okay, why do you think this works this way? Hands-on. This can be in any classroom. Have a digging spot in your classroom, but instead of just a sand table or a digging spot, hide something in it. When we did ancient times in the past, we went right to the park, which I had gone to at lunch, and I buried all sorts of treasure in the sand, in the whole park. You wouldn't believe those kids. I put their little junior archaeologist bags on. We went to the park, and I said, I don't know. We just learned about archaeologists. Maybe there's some remnants here. Let's go and see if we can find anything. So the kids started digging, and they said, oh, there's not going to be anything here. Well, you can imagine, as soon as they found the first coin, that they were pretty excited. We did dig up the entire park, but maybe you have a park in your own yard. Again, give them things where they can sit down and do it by hand. Instead of doing fractions on a handout or fractions, even with a piece of plastic, make a pizza, bring a pizza. Say, okay, there's four of you. How are you going to divide this up? Okay, there's two of you. There's six of you. Do things in 3D. Students love 3D formation. Have them see things by making them themselves. We have a 3D printer. If you can get one, that's amazing. We had a parent donate one, but that is a great opportunity for kids to use their creativity and to build something directly. Literature. Literature is another way where hands-on, first-hand experiences build that awe and wonder in a student. So some of the ways we can do that is read aloud often, model great reading, think about the setting, make a good book nook, read in a tent, use a flashlight, play parts, celebrate great authors, cook and bake. They won't even realize they're reading. Make a book club where they highlight good books. Make a place in the classroom where they're excited to go to read. Hide great books so that they have to find them. Another thing you can do on your walls is highlight great books by putting a scene of each story so that the students can say, oh, I wonder what happened there. I'd like to read that book. That looks very interesting. Have the students, that's their book report, design a setting so that students will become interested. Or highlight a specific scene, one scene, so that the students can look and say, wow, I think that book looks like it might be interesting. I wonder what happened. I wonder why that ship was falling that way. Another idea is to break down a book, have the students act it out in parts and take pictures, make it into acts or scenes or chapters. Or comic books. Have the students break down a scene in a comic book. But don't give them too much at one time. Just allow them to do one picture per person. You put it all together. It's a group project. And what they have at the end is a unified story. A simple sheet of paper with cutouts makes a great book as well. Or they can make a scene with paper and pop-out cards. Or an entire journal. A journal allows a student to be able to highlight setting, characters, and so forth. You can do it with three-dimensional shapes, or you can do it just in writing, but give them something that they can create for their own so they feel like they're making their own books. And older students have an opportunity to create a multi-level scene. Even fourth grade, third grade students can build the foreground, middle ground, and background of a scene by making a pop-up book. Encourage a growth for an appreciation for great books. This may come in the version of a bulletin board. I'm hoping that some of these ideas will give you some excitement to do something in your classroom. These students are in the classroom all day long, every day, all week, all year. That's what they're seeing in the classroom. So put things that are beautiful and good on your walls and encourage them with things that you can add, they can add content to. This one here, you could put their favorite book and switch that often. Here, the students can put their favorite book and then switch books so they know who's reading which books next. It's an interactive bulletin board. Or you can have students highlight their favorite books by making a library on a bulletin board. Some schools have lockers. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to design your lockers or your cubby spaces with great books? Make way for ducklings. If you've got a long vertical space in your classroom, why not make it look like a book? These are all different ways to add beauty to the classroom and get the kids excited about learning. Of course, there's plays. Have them acted out formally and informally. One thing we did this year was called Battle of the Books. It was an opportunity where the students learned six or seven classical books. They read through them, but they didn't just read through them. They read through them carefully, and then they had a trivia contest where we invited the schools in the area to come, and they loved it. You know, you have sports competitions, but Battle of the Books, we want them to be excited about great literature. It was a perfect opportunity for them to explore great books in detail and then have fun. When they were done, they were just like, oh, I'm going to beat them next year, because they were so excited about the competition aspect. For writing, again, don't be held hostage by the worksheet. It's very easy to just go from page to page, but here are some ideas, just some reminders of ways that you can make kids excited about writing. Pass a story, especially for reluctant writers. Just have the story pass from person to person, so they maybe only need to write a couple lines, but it helps them understand the plot and the setting. They are learning inference from the context. Have them choose their own ending. You can write the beginning of a story and have them write the end. When they come in from recess, just have them sit down in a dark room and say, write whatever you want. I don't care. Just try to get as many words on the page as possible. You'll find that even your most reluctant writers may just scribble words down. Postcard to a classmate. In the younger grades, have them write a postcard, draw a picture of their favorite place to go, and write a little summary of what the place is like. A setting character plot switch up. This is a perfect example where the students can write a story that they already know and not feel stressed about the plot. Perhaps it's the three little pigs at the beach and they have little tents or huts. Write a creative essay. It doesn't always have to be with words. A creative essay can be a story told in a picture or a story told in a diorama or by making a sword or a shield. One thing that I've done with my classes is have letters to God. It's a great opportunity for the students to reflect and speak to God in writing, and it can be very private. But I would give them the book at the beginning of the morning, and then I would take it back and I'd say, I'm not going to read them. But you wouldn't believe how much writing those students did when they knew it wasn't going to be read and that they were speaking to God. It really developed a reflection, a time of reflection. Character journaling. Be a character. Say, okay, you're Genghis Khan. What are you going to write about today after your exploits? Write a class newspaper. Have everybody write an article and then publish it in front of the school and hand it out to all the other other students. Commonplace journals, a great other place to write down ideas. Now, this is often for older classes, but in the grammar school, sometimes you can just write down Like, what did Charlotte say at this moment in the barn that was memorable? Why is that meaningful? Write it down. If someone said something memorable, have the student write it down. What a perfect example of copy work. And then they have these little memorable moments that they can keep in their journal. So copy great passages, quotes, poetry from great literature. Interact with authors and their ideas. Jot down quotes and notes. Encourage deep thinking. And you can make notes within the books and other recommended books in the margin. So, as Charlotte Mason said, it's very helpful to read with a commonplace book or reading diary in which to put down any striking thought on your author or your own impression of the work or any part of it, but not the summaries of facts. Such a diary carefully kept through life should be exceedingly interesting as containing the intellectual history of the writer. Well, that intellectual history starts very, very early when the students are little tiny, tiny people. They can already be creating their intellectual history. And it doesn't need to look this perfect. I mean, especially as you're in the early grammar ages, it'll be very, very remedial. And the students may have 3 words or 5 words. But it is someplace to start the reflection early. Lap books. Lap books are something that also extend the learning in the classroom. It's a place where the students, kind of like a scrapbook, can collect neat things that support a topic. So, for example, this is an ancient times one again, but it has folded pockets, it has little accordion files, it has pop-up pyramids, and things that make it interesting. I have one that my own daughter made, and I don't know if you can see it, but you can make it an interesting front, and then you talk. Sorry, I'm passing through there. So you can go ahead and do all the information that you would normally have them fill out on a worksheet and put it in an interesting way so that they can record vocabulary. Here's a secret message in code, a letter, a diary entry. My daughter did this in grade 2. You can have a diagram. And it's a special place to hold all the. This would be like their notebook for history as opposed to the other one. Sorry, I went ahead here. Okay, so here's another example of a lap book. In it, you can have hieroglyphics or different pictures. You can put, there are ones you can buy. You can buy them online, but they're very, very easy to make yourself. You can have ancient Greek or ancient Chinese coins, the Wall of China, make a kite, and the timeline of ancient China that pulls out so that students have a little collection of really cool ways where they just love these lap books. And there's one you can make the cover interesting, make it the medieval ages. There's the one that I just showed you of my daughter. And the inside, it gives you an example of one of the flip charts that you can include in it. Dioramas. I had a student in my first fifth grade class, and we were reading The Borrowers, and I had them make dioramas of the borrower's home. Well, you would not believe what this girl designed. I mean, she had spent hundreds of hours, I'm sure, creating little matchbook, little beds, and cutting out little fabric things. Now, this person has ended up to be a designer now. But I just think, what a great opportunity for her to get excited about the book and to see firsthand. Make dioramas often. I know they seem like extra work, but the students absolutely adore it. If you're doing a habitat on the Amazon River, make it. There's an example of a little borrower's diorama. If you're doing Little House on the Prairie, have the kids pick a little part from the setting and make it. Have them build the log cabin. If you're learning The Hobbit, there's 50 ways to make a hobbit hole, complete with Lego and found seeds and artificial grass and bricks. give the children an opportunity to be creative in the way they design these settings. And if all else fails, use Play-Doh. Play-Doh is a great creator of all sorts of things. They can create scenes out of Play-Doh, and that too will build that excitement. This here is one of my other daughter's works. She's older, she's not in grammar school, as you can imagine, but she did Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka, and her creative essay could be anything, she could make anything she wanted, and so she decided, even in grade 11, to do a diorama. So she spent days creating these little tiny things, and she said, "Mom, it reminded me of making a diorama in grade 1. I just love it." So there you go, there's your 3 inches, and you can see the little credenza there, or the little desk, and there's all the little parts she made for her little diorama. But again, she had to look through the book and find out, okay, the bed was to the left of the chair, and the window looked out onto the backyard or whatever. And so all of those, it's an opportunity to explore setting in a realistic way. And the kids just absolutely love it. Chants, songs, and jingles. I just heard it yesterday from Steve Turley. He said, he who sings prays twice. So chants, songs, and jingles. Bring song to your classroom as much as possible. In our kindergarten classrooms, when we started trying to encourage the songs and the chants and the jingles all the time, it just completely changed the enthusiasm of the students. It gives them opportunity to learn content and to be excited about learning because of the songs. So geography songs. How many people here use geography songs? So in our school, the JK, because we have junior kindergarten, there's nothing sweeter than seeing a bunch of junior kindergartens singing the countries of the world with a little pointer pointing to all, and their parents are like, "What? How do they know all those? How do they know all those countries?" But they sing it. And again, I did geography songs with my second year university daughter, and I said to my daughter, I said, "Laura, do you remember the countries of?" And she went, "Da na 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 na," and she sang them all out, and she had remembered them from grade 2. So definitely, there is value to singing. Sing the Word is a great resource. It has scripture right to song that the students love. Memorizing the books of the Bible through song, grammar songs and chants. Songsforteaching.com has some great resources that support singing in the classroom. Veritas or Classical Conversations have their history songs, of course. And Shirley Grammar and Classical Academic Press have the Latin chant. Put poetry to song. Have the students write poetry and have them create a song for it. Ancient Rhymes for Ancient Times is also a good book that has poetry that can then be put into song. Don't overuse songs, though. I found that we fell into that, you know, how many times can you sing some sort of fact to the wheels on the bus, or try to have variety in your songs, for sure. So beauty and the art. So as we're talking about beauty and goodness and truth, there's nothing like students going to a symphony. If anyone can take your grammar school students to a symphony, they definitely gain an appreciation for music. The classroom gallery. In our classes, whatever historical period we have or whatever they're learning in literature, we buy prints for them and frame them around the room, so that they feel like they're in an art gallery to an extent. Bulletin boards, the walls, anything to make that space beautiful where they can appreciate the God's designs. So again, as I share some bulletin boards, in the background, that's one of our bulletin boards, Ancient Times, trying to just get a snapshot of what the period is like by giving concrete things that they can look at. So bulletin boards take work, and I understand why you may not want to do them often, but what I've learned to do is if you take a big piece of insulation and wrap it with fabric, you can design a bulletin board and then put it in your store and bring it out And so you just like make 10 bulletin boards and then you've got them changed. You can change them whenever you want. You can use them year after year. You don't have to take it down and then rebuild it again. You've got this permanent building bulletin board that you can transfer and change out, change it into a different room. But you can make them pretty spectacular. What I've done here on the bottom too is you can see there's a lower spot where the kids' work is. You can have a piece of fabric across the bottom where you can highlight students' work. And so that way it becomes a working bulletin board too. So the top part is stationary and the bottom is not. Now these are some ideas that, just some ideas on ways you can make your classroom more exciting, more a better place for learning where the students are excited to learn, where you can give messages like, let your light shine. The students will see that all day long. 3D bulletin boards are my favorite. You know, you've got these four blank walls, and yet you can design this amazing space and make it your palette. There's lots and lots of ideas online on 3D, and all you have to do is copy. And so, for example, some of these are some good ideas. These are online. So this one here, Ode to the Fifth Grade, put all your students. They're part of the song of your class. Why not welcome them with song? It does allow you to integrate the material, the content more by having, you know, referring to music and art and other subjects. So this, for example, is in the invertebrates. So instead of just having a picture of an invertebrate on the wall, make the invertebrate. Get out some tissue paper and make a 3D invertebrate on the wall, and students will love it. Highlight a scientist. Don't be afraid to staple a stuffed animal to the wall or any other thing that would stand out and gain their attention. Use paper, bend it, twist it, make it creative. Make your seasonal boards interesting by cutting paper and using paper cups. Students, again, these are all places where students are going to be looking all day long, and it's a great way for them to be excited about it. I like this one. It shows all the seasons, and so that one can be kept up during the year. Make your bulletin boards interactive. Say, guess the artist. Read this information. Make a word wall Scrabble game where you have suggested words, and the students can go ahead and take the letters out and make their own words. Give them information that they can take from the bulletin board here. For example, this one is take what you need, a verse of encouragement, something that they need when they need hope, something for confidence or love. It's an interactive bulletin board where they can get the truth out that they need for that day, and it's there for them every day. Visitors to a class, so simple. You all know it, but it's amazing when you have a veteran come in or you have someone come in and the kids are pounding with nails, how much they love it. This student here slept with his police badge for about 3 weeks because he was so excited to actually meet a real policeman. One other thing that we try to do often too is play a role in character. Come in, you know, come in as Charlotte, or come in as one of the characters of your history study, and play the part. Instead of introducing Justinian, come in as Justinian and tell the story from his perspective. And of course, there's field trips. So explore your neighborhood. Go close and go far. Get out often. Do as much as you can in your own community. And one other way that ultimately builds a real change, real wisdom, is look for ways to serve. Have the kids get many opportunities to serve within their class and outside of their class. Again, these little students were going to the elderly home next door. And you may have an opportunity to serve on a bigger scale. Maybe you're doing something grander at your school, and that's amazing. Our students this year, we just got back last week from the Dominican Republic. We took our 7th and 8th grade class there. We spent an afternoon in the dump serving sandwiches to people who were living in the dump with the kids. The kids were living in the dump with their parents. And they were just scrounging for water bottles and things that they could sell, 25 cents for a month of work. There's nothing like awe and wonder. Why is this happening? You know, and then therefore understanding more of our privilege than going there and seeing it firsthand. So if you can give them opportunities over and over again to explore their community, to serve among their own community and beyond, your students will grow. All right, this is the last part. As I started, you guys are the experts. We came here, and all, you know, some of you may have looked at this and said, I know all of these, I already do all these in my class, and I do so much more. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from the people who have done some things that have worked well in your class. So what I thought maybe is if you could just talk to the person next to you for a few minutes, and then if we could share some ideas. Because look at the wisdom out here in this group. I mean, you're all here wanting to improve the learning in your classroom. You're all excited about making living learning. So if we could just take 2 minutes to talk with the people around you, and then share some ideas. Do you think we can do that? Okay. Okay. It's nice to hear everybody talking. I wonder now if there's any of you that have any ideas that you've just heard that you think everybody needs to know. Is there anyone here that's heard an idea that's new to them that we could all benefit from? Yes? Just a second, I'll come over. See if this will work. You want to try that?
Do you want that? Yeah, do you want that idea? I'm stealing from her.
Oh, that's, yeah, please share some of that. Yeah, steal all you want, because that's what we're all doing, right?
Okay.
Oh, no. I didn't volunteer for this. So for The Hobbit, we read that as our first book, and instead of doing comprehension worksheets, yeah, this is fifth grade, I decided this year to do a portfolio project. So we have four different things that they can do, and they get a choice. So it's not everybody has to build a diorama, because there are parents who would not be happy with me. But one could be that. Another one, they researched the family tree for the dwarves, and they had to draw that out. So we had kids who tea-stained it, or they did a map of the whole Middle Earth, and we displayed all those, and then we wrap it up at the end of the book with a Hobbit feast where they dress in character and we have all the foods and the wines of Moria and everything, and it's just a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So they'll never forget The Hobbit because of that. Anybody else have something that they'd like to share they've done in their class or they heard that someone else has done? Yes?
I don't actually do this, but at my school, the eighth graders, they build catapults and they chunk pumpkins, and they're studying medieval. And then they see who gets to chunk their pumpkin the farthest, and they love doing that.
That's awesome. Anyone else have something? Yeah.
So at my school, we actually do what's known as concentrated study. So we spend 2 whole weeks where the entire school is studying the same time period. And something that goes along with that is that the older students, and we start it in second grade because we're a very small school, that may change as we grow, but they start about a month before concentrated study researching one person. And they have to design their own costume, and they have to write a first-person speech. The older students also have to write a longer actual biography report that goes along with it. And then during concentrated study or slightly after, depending on schedule, they present that in full costume as a living wax museum to the younger students, and then we open it up to the community. And they come in and tour through our gymnasium and hear these presentations, and that goes over very well.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, anyone else? I think, oh, sorry. I'm not sure what time it is. We're probably out of time, but...
Oh, there's a really cute book called Yoko. I don't know if anyone's ever read it. It's about a Japanese kitten. She brings sushi to school, and her class teases her and thinks it's gross. So the teacher in the book says, well, why doesn't everyone bring in a food? from your background, whatever ethnicity you are or wherever your family's from. And so I thought, what a great idea, because the kids have told me, I want to be a missionary when I'm older. And I thought, oh, you're going to have to eat some foods. You're not going to like them. So we do International Food Day, and we've also, for the nature, living out nature, we've tracked animals. But I live in Michigan, and there's snow, and it's much easier to track animals in snow.
For sure. Okay, one more. Is there anybody else who would like to share something?
I love the idea of dioramas, but my parents would hate it if I made them do that kind of thing. My children are older now, so they don't play with their Legos anymore. So I brought my Lego bins to school, and I said, this was the last day of school, but I'm going to keep them at school. Create a scene from history or Bible class. And the things they came up with and the detail that they put in and the fun that they had was incredible. So I'm going to keep those Lego bins in my closet. And when we've got a day where we need to do something different, we're just going to pull them out, do it, and then sort of have a little museum where the kids go around and share what each has done. No homework, nothing messy, and yet a lot of learning happening.
And they all go back into the same bin. You don't have to. One thing that I've done with my kids too, my students, is take pictures of everything and then trash it. You know. But thank you very much for being such an attentive audience. I hope that you're able to get some practical things that you could use. And again, these ideas are not all my own. They're all your ideas as well. So thank you. Enjoy the rest of the conference.